What's happening, family? So you already know what it is. We started a series last week called Why Jesus. Someone say, Why Jesus? Why Jesus? Listen, there is a slew amount of noise in our culture right now. There's a slew amount of voices in this age right now. There's a lot, man. There's so many messages, y'all. There's like from social media to music to the news to all of this. There's a lot of voices. And they're all trying to say, you should be like this, you should be like this, you should be like this, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, you should. So who can you actually trust? You know what's crazy? There are over 4,200, someone say 4,200. That's like hefty, 4,200 religions in this world. You know what that word religion means? Religion means this is a personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. It's the commitment of or devotion to religious faith or observance. There's a slew amount of faiths in this world that say this is the way you should live. This is truth. So why Jesus? Culture says, hey, matter of fact, the truth is actually relative. Everybody's got a truth. Something might work for you, but it might not work for me. I'll be talking to people, and I'll be like, hey, you need Jesus. Jesus saved my life. He can save yours. He says, they say, that's good for you, because they believe in a relative truth. They believe in relative truth. Relative truth is pretty much opinionated. And I'm here to tell you that first and foremost, if everything was relative or opinionated truth, there would be no purpose for school. Because we learn absolute truth all the time. Can I tell you this, that 2 + 2 here it equals 4. And guess what? 2 + 2 in China equals 4. Can I tell you that, man, there are just basic things that are never changing. Solutions like that are absolute. And so again, we have a culture, we have an age that says live by your truth. If it feels right, it is right. It's the we have a culture that says you're the author of your own story. You're the captain of your own ship. You dictate your life. And that there are many ways and many truths to live from. So why Jesus? A lot of us, man, the only reason why we're in church is because our parents dragged us out of bed on a Sunday when we stood up till 4 o'clock in the morning. And the only reason why we're here is because they dragged us out of bed and we are now at church. We got a lot of, that's what I'm here for. That's great. I'm glad you're in this room. I'm glad you're here. Can I tell you that, man, your parents' religion and your parents' beliefs, and that we sometimes, man, that parents are pretty much the main people that actually end up molding us. But can I tell you this? That you can't live off of whether it be your parents' faith, whether it be off of friends. You've got to have your own. And I remember being just like y'all, coming to church, hearing this stuff, going home and saying, okay, what was the point? And can I tell you this, that, I mean, I mentioned this a little bit last week. After about 17, I said, you know what, I'm done with church, I'm done with God, this isn't for me. I dabbled in a little bit of atheism. I dabbled with a little bit of nihilism. Nihilism. I dabbled in a little bit of agnostic beliefs. I dabbled and started. And what led me, because I started really just questioning everything, which questions are good. And my questions, the more I started questioning, the more I started seeking, and the more I started looking at Jesus. that this just wasn't just a parents, my parents' faith, but this was something different. So we started this series, Why Jesus? I asked the question of last week, and I got some response. I asked this question of believing in Jesus is hard because I don't understand blank. And y'all gave me a lot of good answers, a lot of good feedback. And we're going to be asking questions like this, like from every once in a while during the summer. And I just want to read some answers back. Believing in Jesus is hard because I don't understand blank. This person said, I don't understand him, how he works. Why I don't feel him. How strong my faith has to be to experience anything. How my mom is so confident in him. How or even if my prayers reach him. Whether he hears me or not. Anything. This person was detailed. I thank you for whoever that you are. You're very much detailed. Thank you so much. Believing in Jesus is hard. Here's another one. Because I don't know why we believe what we believe. Flat out. Believing in Jesus is hard because I don't understand where to start. Who's ever felt like that? Where do you start? I don't understand how it began completely. I understand how to believe. Believing in Jesus is hard because I don't understand Christianity. Believing in Jesus is hard because I don't understand how it works. Believing in Jesus is hard because I don't understand the Bible. And so, I want to start there. But before we start there, I want to talk a little bit about science. Because the crazy thing is, I mean, y'all know a little bit of my story. In third grade, I've been a deep person my whole life. When everybody else was tripping off of SpongeBob, I was tripping off the fact that there's an existence for my deep kids in the room. You get what I'm talking about. I'd be in my bunk bed, and I would start tripping. I'd be like, "What is this?" Start grabbing stuff. Like, what is? Start looking outside. Start looking at my hand. Start looking outside. Start looking at my hand. Going to third grade next day, I say, everybody be tripping off of SpongeBob, tripping off of Rugrats. Did you see that new episode of Rugrats? I'm like, yeah. But does anybody know why we're here? No? Okay, bet. I love science, though. The science of the universe. I'm talking about space. So my favorite genre is probably sci-fi. Where are my sci-fi kids at? You like, yeah. Where are my anime kids at? You're like, yeah, sci-fi anime. Give me all of it. Yeah. I've always loved it because it makes you think. But even I love discovering more and more about the science of the universe because it's crazy how detailed it is. I love science because science actually can end up pointing you back to God. Now, here's the reality. A lot of people, whether it be atheists or scientists, like they try to use science to disprove God. And there's a lot of folks out here that they use science to prove God. Science is just about the facts. And I love the more and more I started looking at actually like how this sucker was set up, like universe stuff. I was like, daggone, that sounds familiar. You know, scientists are convinced that our universe began with an enormous explosion of energy and light. We call that the Big Bang. Anybody ever heard that? It's the Big Bang Theory. There was a show as well as it's actually legit a theory that the universe was started with an explosion, actually 13.7 billion years ago. That there was nothing, and then bang. Big bang. Astrophysicist Robert Jastrow, a self-described agnostic, meaning this, a guy who's like, man, I don't know, but I don't know, I don't know. It's like, I don't believe that there's a God, but I don't believe that there is. Could be not. It's an agnostic. He stated this. He said, the seed of everything that has ever happened in the universe was planted in that first instant. Every star, every planet, and every living creature in the universe came into being as a result of events that were set in motion in the moment of this cosmic explosion. The universe flashed into being, and we cannot find out what caused that to happen. Steven Weinberg, he's a Nobel high physicist, physics dude, said the moment of the Big Bang, the moment of this explosion, he said this, the universe was about 100,000 million degrees centigrade. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. That's dope, though. 100,000 million degrees centigrade, and the universe was filled with light. Richard Feynman, a Nobel Prize winner for quantum electrodynamics, said this. He said, "Here, the more that he started breaking down the universe, the more that he started breaking down actually the science of this, he said this, why nature is mathematical is a mystery. The fact that there are rules and laws is a miracle. The fact that there's a law of nature, a law of gravity, that, man, that there's these things called dark matter and dark energy that, man, that we don't even know how it is, but it's holding the universe together. There's these substances that literally, that if it's that are in this galaxy, that are in the same ones, are in the next galaxy, holding it together. Everything is being held together that we can actually see it. It's amazing how everything is held together. And you know what's crazy? This theory is decades and decades, maybe. I don't know when the Big Bang Theory was made, but still, I love that, man, actually in the Bible it talks about a Big Bang. I love how in the Bible it talks about there was light. I love how in the Bible that, man, that when I was on this journey of just like really just looking at stuff, I noticed this, and I noticed for Scripture. I noticed that I'm like, okay, in Genesis 1 through 3, had this reality of, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. There's other portion of Scripture where it talks about, man, that he holds all things together by the power of his name, by the power of his word. It's amazing the more that you look at, man, your biology, that, man, your body is a universe in itself. The more we look at the earth, I love how Pastor Josh, he always busts this fact that we know more about space than we know about the oceans. But you see this order, this mathematical rule, that you see this, that it's not in chaos. And here's my thing. I would be talking to I remember talking to an atheist one time, and he was raised Roman Catholic. He's from Europe. Saw that this was dead. He was like, yo, this is dead. Got so enamored with the science of things that, and he started telling me about the theory of that they're actually science, they're trying to prove now that nothing can produce something. That nothing can produce something. The only problem is, I'm like, hey, dude, you're saying that to me, but in all reality, all throughout any type of life that we're seeing right now, nothing can't produce something. Something has to start it. As well as, if you tell me that you're here, or that we're here based on an accident, then your life is an accident. That doesn't tell me purpose. Here's the fun thing about science. Science will always tell you the why, but it will not the how will not tell you the why. Science will always tell you I can open up a cookbook, I can be like, oh, this is the stats of how to make a cake. but does it tell me why we make a cake? I could read about facts or things, but it don't tell me the why behind it. And the reality that there is life here, there's breath in your lungs, you're conscious. You go outside, you look at how the nature is, you look at the grass, you look at the sky. Man, who in here, you ever just like going outside just to look? I like one of my favorite things to do, I like going on drives in the middle of nowhere. I like going around these back roads, like the sketch ones, where you're like, oh man, I hope my car doesn't break down here, because who knows if anybody's gonna find me? Because if shoot, my body can be in the thick over here, but no one would find me. But I like going around like these back roads, and I like looking at the sky, and I like looking at the clouds, and I like looking at the trees, and I like looking at these hills. And the thing that always comes into my heart is the awe of beauty. Any type, like who in here, you're an artist? You like drawing. Who in here, you like painting? Okay, that's dope. I love art. I don't have any type of artistic talent. If you told me to draw a circle, you'd be like, why does a circle look like that? I love art, though. I love going to art museums. I love going to, we have a good one in North Carolina, NC State Art Museum. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. And can I, like for all my artistic people, here's another thing. Who in here, you love to sing? Got a lot of singers in the room. Raise your hand, Kenzie. Kenzie, you like to sing, right? Who in here, you like to play music? You like to dance. I love dancing. When my feet are good, though. Because after 3 minutes, I'm like, oh, Lord, my ankles. If you went to any artistic person and you asked them, why do you create? Why do you make this? If I went up to if I saw Monet, if I saw the Mona Lisa, if I saw any type of work of art, and I went up to the painter or the artist, and I said, "Why did you make this?" All of them would say this, whether it be singer, da 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 da, to express my creativity. When you express your creativity, you actually reveal beauty. And can I tell you this, that man, again, just molding the two, when you see that there is design in this life, that there's a design, there's unique design. Design means this. It's a plan or drawing produced to show the look and function or workings of a building, garment, or other object before it is built or made. You can see there's just a design for this thing. And if there's design or there is this, we see this creativity in life, there's beauty with it, then we have to ask, man, is there a design for my life? Can I tell you this, that there is design for your life? There's a reason for the why. You're not just here. A lot of us, we feel like we're existing, but we're not really living. That's why we numb ourselves with a bunch of stuff. That's why we get lost on online, and we binge watch, and we play video games to the ends of the nights, and we just numb ourselves. I ain't saying nothing that I have not done. But praise God. Listen, I got a doctorate in this sucker. But there's design. And so there's a design for your life. If there's design all throughout creation, all throughout the universe, all throughout man on earth, all throughout our body, there is a design for your life. Bible says this, that Psalms 19:1, it says this: the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Can I tell you the first thing we know about God in the Bible is this, that God is an artist. God is an artist. God is creative. In the beginning, he created. God is an artist. There is beauty everywhere. And God made life to display his creativity and to express beauty. That is massive, because that is us. You are an expression of God's creativity and beauty. That's why image and that's why identity is attacked so much. Because if you don't know it, you'll try to find a different painter. If you don't know it, you'll try to find someone else to tell you you're this. God made life to display his creativity and his beauty. If there are laws of design we can see in life, then we must ask, are there laws and a particular design for my life? You've got to ask that. Because in all honesty, that's the question that we're always looking for the answer to in everything else. That's the question we always look for. Or that's the answer we always look for. Scripture says this. I love how, like I said, in Genesis 1, we see that. In Psalms 19, you see this reality that God made creation. And he the heavens declare the glory of God. Or man, creation declares the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. John 1, 1 through 5 says this: in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. If we don't know light, we won't know beauty. If you don't know the designer, you won't know your own design. If you don't know him, you won't know yourself. There's this thing that, man, when that we're born in, that we're constantly looking for the purpose of our identity. Why we are, who I am, who am I? What am I supposed to do? Who thinks of me? What we're always looking for, actually, this answer. We will look in our friends. We'll look for it in family. We'll look for it in our accomplishments. We'll look for it in school. We'll look for it on social media. We'll look for it. But you will only find that answer when you know the designer, when you know God. And this thing that we're born and we're always looking for, like, happiness, love, and acceptance. I feel like that's like the core thing in every single human person. We're looking for, like, this thing that we are loved and that we are secure. Growing up, it's the, do I have what it takes? Am I okay? And if we don't have that answered, we'll try to look for it in all sorts of things again. And so when it comes to Jesus, why Jesus? Because with Jesus, you can see that, oh my goodness, he's the designer. There's design. Scripture shows that, man, that there is a purpose and a plan for this whole creation. If there's anything that scripture shows, is that there is this need for man to know God. And when it comes to if we don't know God, we will look for him in every wrong place. And that's what we call sin. Sin is anything that goes against our original design. The reason why the Bible says, hey, this is sin and this is sin and this is sin, isn't because God is trying to be like, keep you from fun things or try to be a taskmaster or try to be a dogmatic or just this unemotional dude. Nah. The reason why he says this is sin or this is sin is because he knows your design more than you do. The reason why, he said, hey, Sam, your sexual addiction is wrong and it's sin and it's messing you up, wasn't because God was like, he hates my guts. It's because he said, this is actually messing you up. This is actually going against who you really are. When I was growing up, man, and every word coming out my mouth was a cuss word, because Lord knows, especially in your school for like 3 days, you got to get good with the cuss words. I have to have combos with my cuss words. I'm going to say this and this and this. It's going to be three here to quit it. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to talk about your mama. we get conditioned to be like, oh, my mouth is going to be all crazy. And the only problem about it is that, man, death and life comes up from the power of the tongue. And then if I'm spewing curses, then I'm actually messing up me more than I'm messing up the next person. And so that's why when Scripture talks about, hey, having a good tongue, it's not because God doesn't want you to get lambasted by people. But no, it's just really because he's trying to guard you. Anytime you see sin, or he calls something sin, it's because he's for your good. There's a design in this life. There's a reason for your existence. There's a reason for it. Now, a lot of folks in this world, they either become way deistic, whether it be they believe in a God that or something that's over this whole thing, but they're not vibing with the Judeo-Christian God, God of the Bible. And the thing that got me was the person of Jesus, more than anybody in history, more than Muhammad, more than Buddha, more than any other person or figure in a religious system. Because here's the reality. Actually, Jesus doesn't call you into a religion. He calls you into a relationship. And this isn't about actually you becoming a Christian. This is actually about you becoming a follower of Jesus. I love what a student said to a theologian one time. I read this and I was like, daggone, this is the truth though. A student asked, he said, sir, guy actually asked a guy named Karl Barth. He's a theologian of like the 20th century, brilliant mind. Student asked, said, sir, you don't think God revealed himself in any other religion besides Christianity? Karl Barth said, no, I don't think God revealed himself in any religion, including Christianity. God has revealed himself in his son. This isn't about you becoming a Christian. This is about you becoming a follower of Jesus. This is about you becoming a professional person who just goes to church two times a week and then going home and staying the same. If that was it, shoot, America would be Christian, because the Lord knows that we do church really well. This isn't about doing church real well. This is about knowing God. And this is the one religion where this is the one way, because I don't really like even calling this a religion. This is the one way that talks about how much God has done for us. This is the one way that talks about, hey, this is not about what you do to get to him. This is about you recognizing what he's done to get to you. There's this reality that, hey, we have been saved by grace. We're going to be breaking this sucker down next week, but I'm going to tell you about this, about the man Jesus. When I read in Scripture about this man that religion would say that, man, he was a disruptor, is that meant the religious hated him. there is this parts of scripture where literally they would caught a woman caught in adultery. They would bring her out, shame her in front of everybody. She's naked. She's accused of adultery, and in the law that was something that you could be stoned for. And in the midst of it, you have Jesus. They bring him out. They say, what should we do with this woman? And he doesn't cast stones. Everybody has stones. He doesn't have any. Let me tell you about this one who has so much grace, so much love, so much truth, that in the midst of all the shame and all the condemnation, he said, he who has no sin cast the first stone. Everybody starts dropping their stones because they know they got their own stuff. Everybody leaves. He didn't pick up any stone because he'd never sinned. He looks at the woman and says this, where are you? Where are your accusers? I have none. Says, neither do I accuse you. Can I tell you about Jesus? Jesus does not accuse us. Jesus knows our sin. Jesus knows what we've been. But he knows the power of who he is. And there's this reality when you actually receive him, that get washed away and he tells you who you really are. We get, man, there's so many of us in this room that we are struggling because of whether a father left us. We're struggling because of neglect. We're struggling because of sorrow. We're struggling because of words that have been spoken. We're struggling because of abuse. We're struggling with all of this. And Jesus is the one who has actually real power and real healing. That's why Jesus. The Jesus I found out in scripture was way greater than actually the one that I was hearing about from the world. I want you just to stand up. I wanted to point today just to look at the design of the world and see that there's a design for us. That this thing of in our culture that says, hey, live by your truth, you can't because you don't know your design. If there's a design for the world, then we have to recognize who the designer is. That we don't have the authority or even the right when it comes to man to try to live by our, even our own truths or what we hear. We've got to actually find the source. And when you find the source, you'll find everything that you're looking for. I want you to close your eyes. If you're in this room and you have been listening to this message and you're like, man, I don't know me, and I for sure don't know God. If you're in this room, and I'm not talking about, hey, you come to church all the time and whatnot. I'm talking about if you don't know Jesus. And next week, I'm gonna show you the ways of how to get to know him, because I know that's a big thing in this room. Y'all are like, hey, I want to know him. How do you do that? We're going to talk about it. But if you're in this room, you're like, hey, check one. If you're in this room and you're like, I don't know him. The Bible says this, that man, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. You'll be saved, like in John chapter 1, where he is the light and the life of men. You get new life and you get light. If you're in this room, you've never received Jesus Christ. I'm talking about never. Or that you've even been, man, you've been backsliding for a while and you're like, man, I need to get myself right. I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If you're in this room and you're just like, man, I need to know him. I need to know him. All right. The this is what I want to do. Because if God's our designer, and we've got to know how he designed our life. Holy Spirit is on our journey with us in discovering us, revealing us. So I just want to be real intentional, and I want y'all to literally come back next week. We will be talking about the how to believe in this thing, how to walk in this thing, how to have a relationship practically with Jesus. So I just want everyone in this room, put your hand on your heart. And I just want you to just repeat after me, say, God, I need to know you. I don't want to go throughout life thinking I know everything. You know the way, you know me. Holy Spirit, open up my eyes to who you are. Open up my ears to what you're saying. Don't let me believe lies of this world. Show me how to do life. I'm just going to pray this over us. God, I thank you right now that we're on a journey of discovering why, Jesus. You're our design. That you have given us, man, your thoughts towards us. And I pray right now, that we would continually discover the words you've spoken over us. Forgive us, Lord, for anything that, man, that we've been carrying, any type of lies that we've been making a stronghold in our life. God, I thank you, Jesus, that your word is stronger. And so, Holy Spirit, guide us this week. Lead us and guide us to truth this week. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Awesome.